Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Into our second and final hour for the night, Michael Hall from Cardinals Care and Winter Warmest is going to join us in just a little bit. Kevin Wheeler will join us after that. We'll talk baseball with him. I have to go non-sports for a second because the great Maria Kina just did a newscast. And Maria, this is not a criticism of you. But one of the words that were used was what was the storm called?
Atypical.
Atypical. Yes. That's what I was trying to. I couldn't remember it for 30 seconds. Atypical. Now that is those are the words of our leaders in
Correct.
City government. This was not an atypical storm. Like, it may not happen in St. Louis as often as it used to because like the climate just seems to be a little bit different. But this was not an atypical storm.
No. And I've also heard figures thrown out there that St. Louis, the city, received 10 inches of snow.
No.
That is inaccurate.
No.
The city did not receive 10 inches of snow.
Like, this is wild.
And as a city resident.
And I'm not a city resident. I'm a county resident.
And I could tell you that you take your life in your hands when you drive down these streets. The side streets, that is, when you're trying to get to your house. Because they've been pure glass. It's like an ice skating rink. And there have really been, you can't walk the dogs. You can't take the trash out. You can't do any of that. Because it's just so dangerous.
You know what's really, I talked about this the other day. And I know this is a sports show, but I like to look at things from a very logical, common sense sort of way. It is so dumb. So I live in Chesterfield. Within probably a half mile of my home, there are roads that are maintained by the city of Chesterfield, mm-hmm. roads that are maintained by the St. Louis County, and roads that are maintained by the state of Missouri. So we literally have snow plows passing other snow plows with their frickin' plows up because that's not their road. So there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
There has to be a better way and a more an easy way. And by the way, shout out to the city of Chesterfield because all the roads that they were actually responsible for were taken care of.
Clear.
Now, I said that and somebody's like, well, this road in Chesterfield was terrible. Yeah, that's because that was a county road or that's because it was a state road. Now, out there now, where the state folks and the county folks seemingly got their heads out of their you-know-whats and eventually got stuff taken care of. It's much better than what's going on in the city. But this was a horrific response from St. Louis City, from St. Louis County, and the state, and I just don't understand it.
The thing that always amazes me is when they say, we're not going to pre-treat. Now, notice you didn't hear any complaints coming out from Illinois.
No.
Illinois pre-treated.
Yeah.
Now, I know they like to say over here, oh, well, you know, it'll get washed away. Well, we pretty much didn't have rain. It pretty much came down from the beginning as some type of frozen precipitation. So I think pre-treating would have eliminated a lot of what we saw because of the buildup that we saw then.
Go put salt down on your driveway on half of it and not the other half.
Exactly.
And watch what the driveway looks like after.
Absolutely.
It's going to be completely different. I love living in St. Louis. One of the best things that happened to me in my life was when I got the chance to move back home. Very rarely do I say anything in Wisconsin is better than what's here. This is one of the few times. This would never happen in Wisconsin.
They know how to handle it. Yeah.
They're on it. They pre-treat. They're out there as the storm is happening. And if there is a storm that ends at 1 o'clock in the morning, the roads are fine at 6 a.m.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Hours and hours went by.
Yeah.
When there was no cleaning going on. And that pretty much amazed me, especially on the state roads and the highways. When you couldn't get on the highway and there was like one little lane with a few little, you know, tracks that were on it, that was terrifying.
So I get off on Chesterfield Parkway on 40 going west, and they create like this tiny little gap of the snow. So like when you're driving at night, you're going slow. Where is it?
Exactly.
You got to go like 20 miles per hour to be able to find the spot that you want to go through.
You do. And then it's scary because you can't see.
No, you can't see a thing. All right. Thank you for letting me continue to go off.
Just remember, atypical.
Atypical. It was an it was just a standard winter storm, but no, let's call this thing atypical. Thanks, Maria.
All right, thanks.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to be with you. I mentioned earlier that I was looking for, if you heard my conversation with Rob Serfolio yesterday, I was looking for, you know, comments on it. I was just interested in what people thought. Because again, if you didn't hear it, Cardinals Conversations, KMOX.com. Go to the podcast feed or if you're on the Odyssey app, do a search for Cardinals Conversations and find the Countdown to Opening Day show from yesterday. Because I think we need to know the direction that the Cardinals are going, and I think we learned a little bit about that based off what Serfolio said yesterday. Some of the messages that I got after saying that earlier, I said, is the new GM going to be here for 5 years? So I assume you're talking about Chaim Bloom, who's going to take over as the president of baseball operations, not Rob Serfolio, who has an assistant general manager title. I wouldn't be, you know, so previously, and we get, this is one of the things that kind of annoys me sometimes. We got to be less worried about titles and more worried about responsibilities. That's something a lot when we would talk about Mike Gersh when he had the general manager position. The way things have worked in baseball is basically another layer of like management has been added, and that's the president of baseball operations. So the general manager doesn't have the final baseball say in organizations like the Cardinals that have a president of baseball operations. So people would always get upset about Mike Gersh being the GM, but not really doing a whole lot that we knew of publicly. He did a lot. That's not me saying he didn't do a lot. That's just saying he didn't have final baseball authority. So you just got to look at the responsibilities of people. And what Mike Gersh was previously doing is what an assistant general manager would have been doing 15 years ago when the general manager was the final baseball decision maker. But because the Cardinals have a president of baseball operations title, like now most teams in baseball, the general manager doesn't have that final baseball say. So when you say the new GM going to be here for 5 years, I'm going to assume that you're asking about Chaim Bloom, who's going to be taking over as the president of baseball operations. And yeah, I think, look, the Cardinals have they have a reputation of having a final baseball decision maker coming in and staying there for a pretty significant amount of time. Now, John Mozeliak is the second longest tenured final baseball decision maker in baseball. But even if you look beyond that, if you look at, you know, Walt Jocketty had a very long run before they moved on from him. I think that is a position that the Cardinals want a lot of stability with. And I don't remember. I feel they announced the length of contract for Bloom. I think it was a 5-year deal. I don't know for sure. I think it was a 5-year deal that they announced that doesn't go into effect until he starts the job next year. But my prediction would be that Chaim Bloom is going to be the Cardinals president of baseball operations for a very long time, for a very, very long time. Now, we'll see what he does inside, because right now the Cardinals don't have a GM. Like, that's part of John Mozeliak basically retook that title. I think from a very technical standpoint, he might be president of baseball operations and general manager. But the Cardinals really technically don't have a GM right now. They just have a president of baseball operations. We'll see. They could have named Chaim Bloom as the GM if they wanted to, with him taking over as the president of baseball operations next year. Instead, they kept his title as a special advisor to John Mozeliak for this year as he works on the reset. And then he'll come in. When he comes in, we'll see if they name a general manager. Someone like Rob Serfolio could end up being, you know, right now he's got the assistant GM title for player development and performance. It wouldn't shock me. He's going to he's going to have an impact on the big league team. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. There are certainly parts of his job that extend well beyond player development and the minor leagues and things like that. There is going to be an impact because part of what he is doing is the things that are being instilled at the minor leagues need to be used in the major leagues as well. And I think Rob is going to have a big part in doing some of those things. So it would not be shocking to me if Cerfolio got promoted to general manager, but basically his responsibilities kind of stayed the same. Another text message to Cardinals fans: support the general manager and waiting again. I assume you're talking about Chaim Bloom. I think so. I haven't heard anybody complain. The only time you get a complaint about Bloom is, oh, well, that's the guy who traded Mookie Betts for nothing in Boston. That's a terrible take, by the way. It's a terrible take because it shows a lack of understanding of the situation. Ownership told him, hey, you got to trade Mookie Betts. Oh, yeah, and you got to get out from underneath the contract of David Price all at the same time. So go have fun with that. They set him up to fail. And then when things didn't go so well for him, the horrible ownership in Boston decided to pull the rug out from underneath Bloom and sack him, and he lost his job. I can tell you he's in a much better situation right now. So, yeah, that's the only complaint you ever hear about him is the fact that he's the guy who traded Mookie Betts. But I think most people who understand even a little bit of that situation understand that it wasn't really fair to him. Michael Hall, Executive Director of Cardinals Care, talks with us next about winter warm-up here on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We're very happy to welcome on to the program. He is the Vice President of Community Relations with the Cardinals and also the Executive Director of Cardinals Care. A huge weekend for Cardinals Care coming up. Michael Hall is joining us right now. Michael, thanks for taking some time on a very, very busy day. How are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How are the final preparations going for winter warm-up, which gets rolling tomorrow morning at Ballpark Village and Busch Stadium?
They're going well. We're dotting our I's and crossing T's here at the ballpark. Several of our facilities and several of our clubs get rearranged and redecorated for the winter warm-up, and we're finishing up those final touches, and we'll be ready tomorrow morning.
What kind of lead time does it take to get everything ready? How long have you guys been physically working on getting all these spaces ready?
Yeah, so we started physically working on them at the very beginning of the week on Monday. We did do some things last week, but it's difficult depending on the schedule because there are other groups that rent out some of the spaces in the ballpark. So we're mindful of our other fans that use the different spaces. Our special events group is fantastic, and they do a wonderful job of not only scheduling outside groups, if you will, but also taking care of the internal needs also. So we started really moving things in on Monday.
I like to remind folks that it is a fundraiser for Cardinals Care, and Cardinals Care does amazing work throughout St. Louis and throughout the Cardinals Nation footprint. But that being said, this year a bit of a change because there are some free areas as well, some things going on at Ballpark Village and the main stage. You're not going to need that ticket. That's a little bit of a different way to take in winter warm-up this year.
Yeah, that is something new for this year. So in the past couple years that we've had winter warm up on our campus, you did need an admission ticket to get into Ballpark Village. And this year you do not. We wanted to try to see what it would be like just to be able to open it up to the general public for fans that maybe have not had an opportunity to experience winter warm up. Give them an opportunity to come down and see what it's like. They'll be able to see the content from the main stage for free, as well as we'll be piping video and sound throughout Ballpark Village for some of the other things that are happening within the ballpark. And if you're down here and you decide you want to get an autograph ticket for someone who may still have autograph tickets available, you'll be able to buy an admission ticket at the ticket office and come on into the ballpark and enjoy the festivities in the park as well.
It's probably a stupid thing to be impressed by, but I'm always impressed. You mentioned the TV monitors. There's so much going on at any given moment. The fact that you guys are able to constantly be moving from one spot to another spot and doing so many things on the monitors, basically, that's almost a show of its own, just getting that together. Whoever directs that and everything, it's an impressive feat for sure.
No, we got to give a shout out to our production crew and Tony Simakaitis. He's the quarterback of that. He does an amazing job. He's got really talented and smart people that work with him. And, you know, that's the one of the big advantages of having it on our campus, if you will, is our ability to put on that show, to be able to utilize our assets and utilize the production team to be able to get all of the different spaces and all the different areas that we use throughout the ballpark, to be able to put those up on screen for fans to be able to see what's happening maybe in an area that they're not able to visit at that time. So, I appreciate you mentioning that. Our production team does a great job.
So one of the things the fans are most interested in is the opportunity to get the autographs. And there are some autograph tickets that are sold out, but a good number of them, tickets do remain available. And you guys got a late addition and a pretty big one in Sonny Gray, who's going to be signing on Saturday. There are still tickets available for Sonny in addition to a lot of other people.
Yes. No, thanks for mentioning that. We do have some of our players that are sold out. But yes, Sonny was a late addition. He will be here Saturday, tomorrow, signing from 1 to 3. You know, the best way to understand or get an idea of what is available is I encourage fans to go to the website cardinals.com/WWU. And it'll bring up the list of players that are signing, current roster, alumni, as well. And it'll give you an idea of who's available and who's not. The other thing that is new for this year is our red jacket photos that Ray Lankford, Vince Coleman, and Ozzie Smith were coming. They'll be at the warm-up this year, and they'll be taking photos with fans in their Cardinals Hall of Fame red jackets. And so that's new for this year and an opportunity for fans. And some of those tickets, there's a limited number, but some of those are still available as well.
What does it mean to you as a representative of Cardinals Care that so many folks are, you know, whether it's Sonny Gray making the late decision to be involved, or whether it's, you know, a Hall of Famer like Ozzie Smith giving away of his time, so many people are so willing to be involved in something that obviously has a very big positive impact.
Yeah, it's really special to be a part of this organization and to be a part of the foundation as well, Cardinals Care. And the winter warm-up is, I don't know how to just, it's a unique thing in that, you know, you got to remember our current roster, this is their off time. They're, you know, they're on their vacations and doing what they do on the off season. And to get them, the majority of them, to come in for this event for the weekend. We also have the caravan going on this weekend where current roster play, some of the current players, some of the alumni participate in that all weekend as well. I think it's neat to know how the players recognize how important this event is for the organization and for the foundation, and they show that by their participation and by showing up.
All the details available, cardinals.com/WWU. Again, you don't have to buy a ticket to get to the main stage activities at Ballpark Village. Enjoy yourself there, but certainly autograph tickets are still available. Some other things available. You can get into the Hall of Fame and Museum. You can get the clubhouse tour. All of that is part of the ticket that you buy, so lots of reasons to certainly purchase that ticket. Michael Hall, Vice President of Community Relations for the Cardinals, Executive Director of Cardinals Care. It is a very busy time for you. Thanks so much for taking the time, and we'll see you out there this weekend.
My pleasure, Matt. Thanks for the support.
That's Michael Hall joining us here on the program, and check out Winter Warm-Up for sure. It's always a great weekend, and we appreciate Michael taking a few moments with us. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we have our weekly Friday conversation with our guy, Kevin Wheeler. We'll go through the week's worth of news when it comes to the Cardinals and much more. That's up next. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, starting to wrap things up here for a Friday evening into the final hour. But we can never get out of here on Friday without talking to our good friend Kevin Wheeler. You hear him on the Dave Glover Show. He used to host this show. You hear him other places as well. Of course, he's part of the Gas House Gang that we do every weekday at 12 noon on our social media channels and replay most nights at 8 o'clock here on KMOX. Wheels, good to see you.
Good. You made it sound like I'm holding you hostage, though.
I did.
Like, you can't get out of here.
I can't. I'm just stuck. No. I always enjoy these conversations. A lot to get into. I wanted to start with just a little bit of reflection over what we had yesterday during these 2 hours where we had Rob Serfolio on it. And folks can go back and listen for themselves. And there were some really important things said, more than like the content of what he said. And Bernie Miklas and I talked about this today on the Gas House Gang. I think it's somewhat refreshing to just hear a different voice representing the Cardinals.
Yeah, I agree. It's part of the reason why, you know, I've been harping on, we want to hear from Chaim Bloom once in a while. Not all the time, and he doesn't have to transition to that. And I understand, you know, maybe he just wants to lay back until he's the guy, which is understandable. It's all good. But I think fans are craving that. Like, let's hear the new voices, the people that we're banking our hopes on in the future, right? I mean, that's because that's what it is. And, you know, when you hear a new guy, it strikes you in a couple of ways, right? When you hear a guy like Rob Serfolio, eventually we'll hear more from Chaim Bloom. But when you hear a guy like Rob Serfolio speak, and I didn't hear the whole conversation you guys had, but I heard, I think, 4 minutes, 5 minutes of it. But what's interesting, and the first thing that jumped to my mind was, it's interesting hearing voices that haven't been here.
Yes.
Because the Cardinals have been very, I know it's partly, like, I want to pay this as a compliment and a criticism at the same time, right? Like, they're really good at rewarding good employees and giving people the opportunity to move forward, which is partly how you keep good people when they think that they can have a job, and, like, you know, they think they can climb and move up. Everybody wants that. So I think their intentions have been good with that. But at the same time, you're still getting people from the same messaging platform, right? The same line of thinking. And they've needed this infusion of ideas coming in from other places to join with, not to replace the old ideas, but to add those two together. So when you're thinking about growing a franchise, especially baseball, with terminology changing and the science changing, you got to get people from different philosophies, and then you do addition. You don't need to subtract anything. You add to what you have.
Yeah, that's, and when I say it's good to hear another voice, that may have sounded like a criticism of John Mozeliak.
No.
It's not.
Although, I mean, look, Mo's even joked that fans are tired of his voice. Like, it's not us that's tired of it. It's people, because it's not because there's anything wrong with Mo. Mo's been an elite executive for a long time, whether people like to hear that or not. He has been an elite executive for a long time and highly viewed amongst his peers. But even Tony La Russa would tell us, at some point, people get tired of hearing just the same voice.
Right.
And there's no difference there to me between those two ideas.
And you hear somebody like Serfolio, and he values different things.
Right.
And so that's the things that he's going to be passionate about and talk about. Very engaging, super smart guy. I was struck by, I think he's got some old school in him. Yeah, he talked about scouts, and he said the great thing about data is now scouts can see something, and we can back that up with the data.
You cross-check.
Right. So that it's not a scout, because some new age baseball people are trying to throw scouts out the door.
Yeah.
That's not what Rob Serfolio is trying to do. Playing the game the right way. John Stuper, a former Cardinal, was his coach at Yale.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize that it was the Cardinal way, but he was taught the Cardinal way.
That's the way to do it.
When he was at Yale. So there was just his holistic approach too. And I know some people are going to roll their eyes when I talk about this, but he wants to create player plans, individual player plans for every single player in the organization. That's not just from a physical standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint, everything that a person is as a ball player and beyond, on the field, off the field, and find a way to go into that and make them a better ball player.
It's the most common sense thing in the world. And, you know, for people that get pushback, like, well, we don't need special treatment. It's not special treatment. It's called teaching to the talent, or teaching to the ability. And Tony La Russa, I go back to him a lot because, you know, we know what he was, right? He's one of the greatest managers ever. He's an old school mind, but he was always an advanced thinker in an old school world. And he would use that phrase, men, not machines.
Right.
They're men, not machines. They're not people. You don't just say, go do this and expect every guy to receive the same information the same way. You know, everybody's brain is a little different. Some guys don't mind stressful situations. Other guys maybe think too much. And knowing all of that can inform how you instruct someone and then what direction you take them. It could be the difference between saying this guy's a starter and this guy's a reliever, or this guy, you know what, he struggles to hit when he's struggling defensively, so we're going to move him off of third into left field because then he can think less and he'll hit better. Like, all of these things are super common sense. People just don't like the terminology and they don't like the discussion of it, but if you put it in old school terms, it makes sense.
One thing I know you'll be interested in. So when I talked to John Mozeliak 2 weeks ago on the show, I brought up the minor league starting pitchers leading all of baseball in length per start. And he said, he talked about it, but then he said, you know, things are going to change when Heim comes in. Not all the philosophies are going to stay the same.
Right.
And it felt like to me he was saying, this might not be a thing the Cardinals keep doing. So I asked Rob about it, and he didn't totally go in and say, yeah, that's something that we intend to do. But he said the number one thing that you can do is create starting pitching out of your player development
system. Thank you.
That's the number one thing that you can do to help win games. And so I got the sense that he was very happy that the Cardinals did have that going.
Yeah, and I think that's an industry-wide sentiment right now, too, is trying to put some emphasis back on pitchers logging innings.
Yeah.
Starting pitchers logging innings. You can do the crazy bullpenning stuff in the postseason pretty well. You can do it for maybe a month or two at a time. Like Detroit did it last year for a couple of months. Right. They did it from basically the trade deadline until the end of their playoff run. But you can't tell me they wouldn't have gotten a better result and all of that if they had kept Jack Flaherty. If they had kept an inning starter in there instead of scrambling every day. And they had an amazing run, but that stuff's not sustainable for 6 months. And the Dodgers have shown that. That's why everybody's loading up on innings. Well, what's the more efficient way to cover the innings you need to cover? Is the more efficient way to say, you know what, we got to have 8, 9, 10 starters? Because that's an expense if you're going to have, you know, proven players either in your pen or sitting at AAA or on the injured list waiting versus developing them on your own. And the most common thing with pitchers is injuries. Way more common for pitchers than position players. So if you're going to be able to cover innings cheaply with guys you're developing, like Cerfolio's talking about there, that's the path.
100%.
That's the path. So yeah, it makes sense. And by the way, on the other side of this, there has been absolutely zero evidence at all that limiting the workloads in the minor leagues is leading to fewer arm injuries.
Yeah.
It is not changing anything, so why do it?
Yeah, velo and spin rate is what lead to injuries.
Effort. Yeah. Effort. The harder you're doing things, the more likely it is that the things that hold your muscles together are going to break. We all know, and by the way, I'm not even saying stop doing those things. I'm saying, maybe you rein it in a little bit. You train to the max, but you pitch just a little below that on the regular, and you go to the max when you need it in certain spots, which is something, by the way, that Bob Gibson did. It's something that this is funny because you can circle back and maybe just reapply. This is the idea of adding ideas, right? You don't take one set of ideas and replace them with another. You add to them. So we don't need to take this idea that we're going to push for velo and we're going to push for spin rates. Well, you can't stop doing that. It works. And if you stop doing it, you're not going to get people out. Look at the guys the Cardinals have had in the rotation the last few years. They don't do any of those things, and they were getting hit around a lot more than guys that do those things. You have to do it, but you can still train guys to do it for 6 innings instead of 4.5.
Right. That's where the industry has to go.
Yeah, and it is. Like, people are figuring that out. And, you know, if anybody ever comes up with a way that can legitimately reduce these injuries, then great, we can follow it. But what's the point of reducing the injuries when you're just creating other problems in the effort and the effort's not bearing any fruit?
Right. Major League Baseball teams are never going to accept reduced results as a way to keep players on the field.
No, and you shouldn't, right? Because you got to win.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately what you're trying to do is give yourself the best chance to win as many games as you can. But I think we can argue that having starting pitchers, and it doesn't even have to be all five. If it's just three of them that can go out there and give you 180, 190, 200 innings, that actually improves your chances at winning games because now you're not taxing your bullpen. You don't have guys in the back end of the pen wearing down and breaking down at the end of the year. And you have that consistency. So, like, again, the balance of worlds is where it's going to be at. You cannot train away from velo, effort, spin because they work, but you have to accept that holding a guy to 75 pitches in the minor leagues is not going to be healthier for his arm long term than letting him go 90 or 95.
Right. Especially when you're doing it right before you call him up because they're not right for the big leagues.
No, and they do a lot of these teams, and this is not Cardinals thing, this is everybody, most everybody, because the Cardinals are actually the one, as you pointed out, that have gone the other way on this in the last year or two. But you'll take a guy out of college who's routinely throwing 110, 115, 120 pitches a game, and he gets into the minors, and now he's throwing 75 or 80.
Right, which makes zero
sense. He's already built up.
Yeah.
Just God almighty, it's not that hard.
Yeah, if you're going to get an 18-year-old kid out of high school and you want to ramp him up, that's a completely different thing than a grown 22-year-old man walking in after pitching in the SEC.
As a guy that's worked in the youth sports world for the last 16, 17, 18, 19 years, just in St. Louis, not even counting my time in Chicago before that, every guy that pitches in high school is throwing 100 pitches a game in seven innings. Every good one. Mm-hmm. All those top guys. So even then, you're taking a guy that has been training to go that distance, and you're telling him not to do it anymore. And you're holding back the development. You know, the pitching guidelines that Dr. James Andrews came up with that good travel programs and instructors follow is the number of pitches you should throw per outing is roughly five times your age, plus or minus 10.
Yeah.
So if you're 18, where does that put us?
Right around 100.
90 plus or minus 10.
Right.
So it's 80 if you're struggling and you have a heavy workload inning early. It's 100 if you're going easy and you're not having big taxing innings. That's what the doctor says is okay for an 18-year-old. And yet we got guys in the minor leagues throwing four innings and 72 pitches. And you're not letting them go beyond that. You're not training them to do the job that you're going to ask them to do when they get to the big leagues.
Yeah, I get the sense that it's not going to change with the Cardinals, which I think is a good thing. That's one.
Yeah, keep going that path. And again, it's the greatest asset in the world is having a pitcher that can go get you, you know, 32 starts at six innings a start.
Final thing for you, and we've talked about it a lot on the station over the last couple of days, but you and I haven't done it one-on-one outside of a few minutes yesterday on Glover. But I'm just continuing to reflect on Bob Uecker's passing yesterday. And you think about the great radio broadcasters, the obviously Jack Buck, Mike Shannon, but the Ernie Harwell, the Harry Callises, and now Bob Uecker. I mean, there's just
Harry Carey. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that generation of broadcaster they're going away, and we've been lucky to be able to listen to them. I was lucky enough to be in Milwaukee for many years, where I listened to Uke on a just about an everyday basis. But it hit me a little bit that he was one of the last ones in that generation. Yeah.
And it's interesting, right? Because people say they don't make them like that anymore. I don't know if we do or we don't. The problem is those guys held those jobs for so long that other people never got in there. And the ones that did get in there haven't been in there long enough to become that.
Right. Well, I think you have to become it because I don't think a Bob Uecker, if he's going full on Uecker and sends a demo tape to a team, he doesn't get a job.
In his case, it's obviously, you know, when you're a former player, you got a different path, but you're right.
But, I don't think, people who hire broadcasters are able to think outside the box, and they want to hear what a broadcaster is supposed to sound like, maybe not what a broadcaster is going to appeal to a fan.
Yeah, see, what I really like, and this is what I like about the Cardinals broadcast crew in general, John and Rick and Claves and you, Tom Ackerman when he's in there, TV guys like Chip, and all the analysts, BT and all those guys. But what I like is there are good mechanics, there are good play-by-play characteristics, there are good sounds, but then there's also a personality and an emotional attachment to the team that you're broadcasting.
Right.
Right. And some teams that I've listened to, and some of it is that some of the broadcasters are new to team work. But we don't want team guys to sound like national guys.
No.
National guys have to be down the middle. They have to be kind of calm, and you know, you have to kind of save it. I love the way that, you know, on the local side, just playing into that. And that's what made all of these guys popular. Mm-hmm. That's what made Jack Buck, Jack Buck. That's what made Bob Uecker, Bob Uecker, is that it's not just a good broadcaster. It's a good broadcaster who's a storyteller, who gets what the fans want, who is a fan, and who gets into it like they do.
100%. So sad day yesterday, but what a legacy that he leaves. The best.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's no such thing as one best, but, you know, he and Jack and Harry Carey, Mike Shannon, those guys are all in the group of the best, and they're probably all having a hell of a party right now.
They probably are. Kevin, great to see you as well. We'll see you again next
week. Have a good weekend. Go Lions.
All right, that's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. We'll take one more break, come back, wrap things up. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. This show might be over, but you are not quite rid of me. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, it is the Gas House Gang. Today's program features myself and Bernie Miklas, so make sure to be tuned in for that. We reflect on Rob Serfolio's comments that he made yesterday during countdown to opening day. We talk a little bit more about Bob Uecker. We'll get into the Blues. We'll also preview the NFL weekend, so that's all coming up during the Gas House Gang, and that's up next right here on KMOX. I also want to remind you about what's going to be going on this weekend. It is winter warm-up. This is one of the really most fun weekends of the year, and I think it's a weekend where you just kind of lock into the radio all weekend long, and you're going to hear some really, really good stuff, because we talk to, well, just about everybody over the course of the next 3 days. So coming up tomorrow, we're going to be on in the morning starting at 10 o'clock, and then we're going to roll all the way until coverage of SLU Billikens basketball. So that's going to be about 1:15. So 10 o'clock to 1:15 is when we're on from winter warm-up tomorrow. Then coming up on Sunday, Tom Ackerman's going to do sports on a Sunday morning from there, 10 to noon, and then Joe Pott's going to take over after that. He's going to be on, I believe, noon to 3, and then we're going to do some things coming up on Monday as well. Monday is also the inauguration, which we're going to be broadcasting, so there's a lot going on Monday between winter warm-up and also the inauguration that's going to be taking place. But for those of you who have never heard it, basically almost the entire team, if they are at Cardinals Care or if they're at winter warm-up over the next few days, they make a stop to our KMOX broadcast location at Cardinals Nation Restaurant, and we get the chance to sit down and talk with them. So you're going to hear a lot of interviews. News tends to come out of the weekend as well. And, so it's just it's a great weekend, and it's a chance for you to learn something, chance to get to know some players, and just a chance to do nothing but talk baseball for a few days, which is also something that's really, really good. And then just a side note, because I know a lot of people outside of St. Louis listen to this program and listen to KMOX for sure. Cardinals Caravan going on. In fact, the caravans are already out. There are four caravans that go Friday, Saturday, and then two caravans that go Sunday, Monday. I am on a Sunday, Monday caravan. I'm going to be rolling through Marion, Illinois, Evansville, Indiana, Paducah, Kentucky, and Cape Girardeau. So that's where I'm going to be at. If you're in any of those cities, make sure to come up and say hello. We always do a program, and then the program comes to an end, and we do an autograph time for the players that are there. So come up, say hello, especially during that period, the players that I'm taking with me, Thomas Sejacy, Chris Roycroft, Kyle Leahy, and Sam Rebursa, and then also alumni Auerbosky, Kerry Robinson, going to be with me as well through those various cities. So really looking forward to that. Always enjoy talking with folks, and just a really cool weekend. So I'll have you for our winter warm-up programming tomorrow from 10 to 1:15, and then I'm out on a caravan after that, and hopefully I get to meet some folks who listen to this program and love the Cardinals. And it's just a really good weekend. It's something that this weekend is somewhat unique to the Cardinals. There's teams that do off-season conventions. Some have gone away, so the Cardinals are not the only team that does that, but just the scope of everything that takes place, and that doesn't even mention the Baseball Writers Dinner, which is taking place this weekend as well, which they've had a run on tickets here recently, which is really, really good. It's important that this dinner continues to take place. It and the big one in New York are the only Baseball Writers Dinners that even exist anymore. So if you're thinking about going, go support it. And it's something that's special about the fabric of the baseball community inside of St. Louis. All right. Thanks for being tuned in tonight. Have a wonderful weekend. Hopefully I see you at some point in time with winter warm-up or the caravan. And we'll be back. I'm not quite sure who's going to be hosting for me on Monday. I'll be out in the caravan, but I'll be back with you coming up on Tuesday, I believe, for our next full program. But have a wonderful weekend. Get out to winter warm-up, and we'll talk to you again real soon. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.